Welcome to God and Country Biblical Exposition, where current events are discussed in the light of Scripture. I received a YouTube comment last week that read, that's what we need to say. A lot of Scripture in a message. And that comment really warmed my heart because that's my goal. To disciple people in the Word of God, nothing else really matters. Yes, I discuss political news stories, but only to direct us to what God has to say about these things. That we would hear from God, not ABC and CBS and NBC and CNN and MSNBC and all the other alphabet soup. Well, for this week, I want to talk about the avalanche of media and social media censorship against conservatives. Most of my listeners keep up with the news, but for those who have been out of the country for the last 2 months, or for those who have been living in a cave, know that over the last month, thousands of conservative voices have been banned from Facebook and YouTube and Twitter. These social media giants have actually collaborated together to remove any content that doesn't follow certain leftist views. You know, a number of articles reported that Twitter has removed 70,000 users since January. And it's mostly about suppressing information regarding election fraud because such reporting would completely undermine the authority of their man, Joe Biden. You know, the suppression of the election results is a whole different subject. I plan to discuss that in the latter program. But for today, I really want to talk about censorship in general. We're now entering into George Orwell's 1984, where the Ministry of Truth removes from print and from airways anything that's contrary to the ruling elite, to the views of Big Brother. Anything that speaks of those old values of freedom and liberty and morality have to be erased because those truths are considered dangerous. Now, these social media companies have been doing this for some time. If you are conservative media, you will be shadow banned, meaning you will be either blocked from platforms without knowing it, or your site is not going to show up in searches. You know, it's a proven fact that Google searches favor leftist sources like the New York Times and the Washington Post. You know, in putting together these programs, I do a lot of searches. And I see daily what Google does in pushing certain sites off of their searches. But if I go to other search engines and I type in the exact same search words, I find the conservative piece that I'm looking for immediately. And in the fall, social media worked to affect the election so that what happened in 2016 would not happen again. Conservatives using social media to help elect Donald Trump. In many articles, Twitter and Facebook made it very clear that months ahead of the election, it was going to take its role in preventing the spread of misinformation serious. And we know how they define misinformation. They buried negative stories about Joe Biden. So this has been going on for some time, but now in the last month, there's been this massive deplatforming. There are a number of articles that list all those who have been banned, like Dennis Prager, Eric Metaxas, Kayleigh McEnany, Tucker Carlson, Michelle Malkin, thousands of others, and whole news outlets have had their media accounts taken down, like Gateway Pundit, Epoch Times, LifeSite News, Project Veritas, many others. And then last month, we saw one of the most outrageous acts of censorship when Amazon threw Parler off of their servers, effectively putting Parler out of business. You know, Twitter couldn't do anything about people leaving Twitter and then going to the free speech platform Parler. So somehow, Twitter convinced Amazon, Bezos, to throw Parler off of Amazon server farms, which is an illegal violation of their business contract. But when has that ever mattered to the left? And Google and Apple have removed Parler apps from their app store. They don't want you to go to the Parler free speech platform. Even the President of the United States has had his Twitter account permanently removed so that you cannot get a different opinion about election results than that of the left's. And that's what this is really all about. Here's an article. Reddit has banned the sub-Reddit group, Donald Trump. Twitch has disabled Trump's channel, citing the move as a necessary step to protect its community. Shopify took down two online stores affiliated with Trump, his organization, and his campaign's merchandise sites. Twitter announced that it would permanently ban President Trump's account, effective immediately. And YouTube has also removed and or labeled Trump videos. And YouTube has even taken down one of my YouTubes. And I'm sure there's more to come. Which has really shocked me because I'm small potatoes. You know, I thought I could go under the radar, at least for a little while longer, because I only have 1,100 subscribers. And I'm in the category of religious. Freedom of religion has always had special privileges, according to Title VI of the Civil Rights Act. You know, a company cannot discriminate against someone on the basis of race, color, national origin, sex, age, or religion. But that doesn't matter anymore. If your religion voices anything that opposes leftist ideology, you are going to be censored, and good luck trying to take it to court. And even Focus on the Family was banned from Twitter because Focus mentioned that Biden picked Dr. Rachel Levine, a transgender man, to be the assistant U.S. health secretary. And Focus explained that a transgender is a man who believes he's a woman. And for Twitter, that's hate speech. Because you can't say he believes he is a woman. You have to say he is a woman. That's how bad things have become. Well, given the moral direction of America, we understood that this censorship of truth would happen someday. The day has finally arrived. You know, we knew that constitutional freedoms cannot exist for very long once a nation loses its Christian culture. Because atheistic secular humanism is antithetical to First Amendment human rights. As James Adam wrote, our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It's wholly inadequate to the government of any other. So with the abandonment of God and God's moral law, which is the foundation for all liberty, liberty is going to go out the window. And even though we knew this was coming, it's still shocking and disappointing to see it actually happen. And it reminds us of what Paul wrote to the new Christians in Thessalonica, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 3 through 4, so that no one would be disturbed by these afflictions. For you yourselves know that we have been destined for this. For indeed, when we were with you, we kept telling you in advance that we were going to suffer affliction, and so it came to pass, as you know. Paul was saying, I told you so. And Jesus said that we will be hated and ostracized and insulted and our name scorned as evil for the sake of the Son of Man. Luke chapter 6, verse 22. And yet, when it happens, we're surprised. You know, it's one thing being told there's going to be persecution. It's a whole other thing when you actually experience it. You know, so many times I've experienced something in life and found myself saying, oh, that's what the Bible means when it says such and such. You know, often we just can't believe it or understand it until we experience it. And God has told us there's going to be persecution and that those who put us to death will think that they're doing God a favor. John chapter 16. Do we realize how much the Bible is all about the wicked censoring the righteous? I mean, what do you think the murder of Abel by Cain was all about? Cain was censoring Abel. The prophets in the Old Testament, they were mocked. They were scourged. They were imprisoned. They were stoned to death. They lived in poverty. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 37. Why? Because they just happened to be victims of random acts of violence? No, the unsaved world was out to silence their message. Censorship. Romans chapter 5, the world is at enmity with God. Romans chapter 1, the ungodly and the unrighteous work to suppress the truth. Some prime biblical examples of censorship. When King Jehoshaphat wanted to hear from a prophet of the Lord. King Ahab said, yeah, there's one man, but I never call upon him because I hate him, and he says what I don't want to hear. That's censorship. And then there's Jezebel killing all the prophets of the Lord. So Obadiah hid 100 prophets of the Lord in caves from Jezebel. 1 Kings 18. And then we have the example of Jeremiah, a prophet who lived in times that mirror our own day. When Jeremiah brought the word of the Lord to the king ripped it up and threw it into the fireplace. Kind of reminds us of Nancy Pelosi ripping up truth that you don't like and protest. That's what social media is now doing. So God told Jeremiah to rewrite the words on another scroll and pronounce a curse upon the king for censoring God's truth. Remember the curse in Revelation chapter 22, verse 19. If anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his part from the tree of life and from the holy city, which are written in this book. It isn't just about tampering with the written text of Scripture, but also about those who censor the dissemination of God's truth. It's evil to reject God's truth, whether that be political truth or social truth or God's moral truth. But there's a special judgment on those who censor it. I mean, check out 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 16. Paul speaks of those who were hindering the apostolic team from speaking to the Gentiles so that the Gentiles could be saved, with the result that they're always filling up the measure of their sins, but wrath has come upon them to the uttermost for those who hindered the truth. Well, back to Jeremiah. The leadership then accused Jeremiah's words of being hate speech, of being unpatriotic, and he was hung in a pit to die. More censorship. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 53. They have silenced me in the pit. They have placed a stone upon me. But the ultimate censorship was, of course, the crucifixion of Christ. Christ would have been no threat if he said nothing, but it was his teaching that put him on the cross. And the leadership hated Christ's message because it was against them, against their worldview. It condemned their sinful behavior and their power. So they concocted a justification for censoring Jesus, saying that he was threatening the safety of Israel. John chapter 11, verse 48, the Sanhedrin said, if we let him go on like this, all men will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation. So the claim was that Jesus would start an uprising and his words would lead to violence. Does that sound familiar? That's what's happening in our day. And if they put Jesus on the cross, what do you think they're going to do to you and me? Matthew chapter 10, verse 25. It is enough for the disciple that he become like his teacher and the slave like his master. If they have called the head of the house Beelzebub, how much more will they malign the members of his household? So if they can't tolerate Christ's truth, what are they going to do to you when you speak God's truth? So over the last month, there's been an explosion of conservative articles and editorials concerning censorship. Every pundit and every conservative show is talking about the censorship, and they make many good points about its evils. But as usual, since most of it is secular conservatism, the commentary is incomplete. It's only an explanation of what is happening and how it's un-American, but it lacks that deeper biblical explanation that we need to look into. So there's just so much biblical truth to share in regard to censorship. It's hard to know where to begin. So what I'd like to do is simply list 10 theological moral points about censorship. And again, this whole subject is so huge. But here are a few biblical insights to consider. Number one, as I already mentioned, the Bible is all about the wicked censoring the righteous. From Genesis to Revelation, Satan's battle against God is to censor and eliminate God and his people. Number two, the censorship doesn't seem to affect most people right now. Now, that might not seem like a major point in this whole discussion, but it's really something to consider. If you don't keep up with the news much, if you don't have a presence on social media, if you just go about your daily routine As far as you're concerned, nothing has changed. The sun still comes up in the morning. The birds are still singing. And I talk to so many Christians who tell me they have stopped watching the news. They just go about their work, they raise their children, they witness to their neighbors, and they're done with it. Now, some may think that that is putting one's head in the sand, but there's really something positive to be said about that. You know, these social media giants think that they have more power than they actually have. They're living in a fantasy, thinking that they control what you say and what you think, but they can't control you if you don't play their game, if you ignore their platforms and you don't patronize their advertisers. So why do we give them so much power? It's just like the Roman Empire thinking that it could stop Christianity through its persecution and censorship. And every time they tried to shut down Christianity, it was like pouring gasoline on a fire. Media and government censorship always awakens the church, and it always backfires on the ungodly. Trying to censor truth is like trying to stop a bulldozer. You can't do it, and if you try, you're going to get crushed in the process. Here's a piece by Peter Navarro. Election doubts will only increase if tech fascists suppress information. So go up to a crowd of people and tell them, don't look behind you. Everybody in the crowd will turn around. The more the media tries to censor the news, the more people will be interested in the story that they're trying to censor. So there's this element where social media cannot stop the truth, and what they're doing is a favor to us. However, on the other hand, we have to realize that the persecution is real, and there are some negative effects. You may think it's not going to affect me, but the censors are coming for you, even if you don't have a media platform. It will affect your life in some way. Remember the words of that German pastor, Pastor Martin Niemöller, about, you know, cowardice and about thinking it's not going to affect you? Quote, first they came for the socialists and I didn't speak out because I wasn't a socialist. Then they came for the unionists and I didn't speak out because I wasn't a unionist. Then they came for the Jews and I didn't speak out because I wasn't Jewish. Then they came for me and there was no one left to speak for me. And if you want some scripture on this, the words of Jesus on the way to the cross. While carrying his cross to Golgotha, Luke chapter 23, verse 28, Jesus turned to the women lying in the streets and said, daughters of Jerusalem, stop weeping for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For if they do these things when the tree is green, what will happen when it's dry? What an unusual thing for Jesus to say at such a time. What Jesus was saying is, if you think they are only going to do this to me, realize that they're also coming for you. If they throw a righteous man, a green branch, into the fire, what do you think the Romans will do with the rest of the Jews? No matter how much we stay out of the limelight, we're not going to be able to avoid the persecution to come. 2 Timothy 3:12, all who will live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. If the President of the United States can be impeached for political speech because it may incite violence, even though he doesn't call for violence, then your First Amendment rights are history. Your freedom of speech is gone. Point number three, leftist censorship is Christian apostasy. As the Christian philosopher Francis Schaeffer once said, liberalism is Christian apostasy. In other words, it has to borrow truth from Christianity in order to survive, but that truth is twisted and misapplied. I mean, even Satan has to borrow from God the concept of right and wrong to argue against God. The point is that censorship is religious in nature, but it's a false religion. Think about this. These leftists are preaching about the moral rightness and wrongness of certain speech. And yet, they're secular materialists. If the world was created by one big accident, and everyone is simply a chemical reaction, and this idea of personhood is an illusion created by chemical reactions, then you are no more alive than your laptop. So in secular humanism, There is logically no right and wrong in the universe. Nothing matters. Your opinions are irrelevant and meaningless, and you're going to die very soon. So what difference does this all make? So why do you care so much about what other people are saying? How can you even make any moral judgments? How can you even logically punish anyone for their speech? And how can you preach that truth is relative and then turn around and tell someone that their speech is wrong? Especially when for the last 40 years, the left has been opposing moral judgments and censorship because everyone was supposed to be allowed to do their own thing. So they're stealing this concept of right and wrong from Christianity, even when they don't believe in morality and a moral lawgiver. So isn't it amazing how now the left is on a moral crusade to punish immoral speech? They are now the book burners. They are now conducting the Salem witch trials. So if you ever get into a debate with leftists on all this, ask the question, says who? And what's your authority? And how do you know you're right? And why are you being so religious? Now, of course, we understand what's really going on here. Man is making himself God, so that in that, people believe their desires and their wishes are now right and authoritative. They do believe in a moral lawgiver, and it's man himself. Morality is based then on what empowers them. But the argument against this is obvious. Man is not God. Man is fallible. Man's existence is futile. Psalm 82:7, yeah, you're gods, but you're going to die as men. And if men are gods, what do we do when men differ in their opinions? Then the gods just have to fight each other, and whoever wins is right, and so might makes right. So evil is always illogical. This censorship is not about morality. It is about personal deification. Point number four, free speech is not absolute. Christians recognize this. Some censorship is valid. Pornography should be censored. Pedophilia should be censored. You cannot yell fire in a crowded theater. Don't be led astray by these libertarian free speech arguments that the solution to everything is to let everyone do and say whatever they want to do and say. That's not the Christian position. And if you hold to that libertarian free speech position, you're going to be backed into a corner and you're going to lose. Just because Christians believe in censorship doesn't mean all censorship is right. Like with everything else, there's a righteous censorship and there is an unrighteous censorship. The state was not wrong 50 years ago to censor transgenders and homosexuals. We don't need to apologize for that. And it's not as if our censorship in those things is now coming back to haunt us. As some are now saying that we should never have censored those things so that we could have removed the current argument from the leftists today, their justification. No, the Christian response is this. God says righteousness ought not to be censored, but evil ought to be censored. And if you can't tell the difference, that is your own sinful lack of discernment. The difference is easily discerned from the Word of God. And it's perfectly valid for evil immorality to be censored by private citizens and by even the government itself. Romans chapter 13, the government is to be an avenger against those who practice evil. But it's not valid for those institutions to censor righteousness. Yes, it's a double standard because evil is wrong and righteousness is right. Even the Ten Commandments are a double standard. Those who do not practice murder are treated different than those who do practice murder. But now that the left is calling evil good and good evil, Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20, they're now defining evil as good and censoring the good. But the problem is not the censorship. The problem is the object of the censorship. Even God censors evil, and Christians are to do the same. So I guess what I really want to say in this point, it's not the concept of censorship that's the problem. It's what is being censored. So don't just argue against censorship, because rightly done, censorship is necessary for the survival of any society. If your argument is that there should never be censorship, you're cutting off the branch upon which you're sinning. Because we're arguing that the censors should not censor, so they should be censored. Are you following all that? A side note here. Let me explain how this no censorship at all lie is put forth. In church history books, in the classic work The Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire by Edward Gibbons, the argument is always made that once Christianity got into power, the Christians did the very same thing that was done to them: persecute their opponents. When the Roman Empire made Christianity a state religion, the Theodosian laws in the 5th century closed down the pagan temples and the gladiatorial combats. Just like in the 2nd century, the Roman pagans closed down the churches. And the mistake is to believe that there is an immoral equivalency here. But the reason the Theodosian laws closed down the pagan temples was that they were closing down the brothels. They were closing down the occult. It was no different than Mayor Giuliani closing down the homosexual bathhouses and the sex shops in New York City. Yes, that's censorship, but that censorship is valid. There is not a moral equivalency in all censorship. And when Christians are in power, history shows they are a lot more tolerant toward the pagans than the pagans were ever toward them. The Greek Orthodox Church never created the gulag system like the atheistic Soviet Union, and the Lutheran Church never created the concentration camps and the gas chambers like the Nazis. So we're all for censorship, just the right kind of censorship. Point number 5. The current censorship is being justified on the pretext of preventing violence and saving democracy. After some people at the Trump rally broke into the Capitol building on January 6th, this has been the excuse used by social media for why conservatives need to be thrown off of Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube, because allegedly their conservative speech will incite violence, especially any content calling into question the results of the 2020 election. So how convenient is this for the left that they can now shut down any opposition to their man for president on the basis of public safety? And so that now conservatives who question the election can be designated as domestic terrorists, so that all the resources and money designated to fight terrorism can now be used to track down and silence the Democrat Party's political opponents. In the words of David Limbaugh, the left has been quite strategic in its sinister plan to silence and control conservatives. If it could sufficiently demonize us, it could emasculate us as an effective opponent of its agendas. Leftism has laid the groundwork for decades, along with their other extreme ideas that they are now peddling as mainstream. They've persistently hammered the narrative that conservative speech is inherently hateful and insightful, leading people to violent behavior, which is basically the violent behavior on their part. They framed mainstream conservative ideas and speech as racist, bigoted, homophobic, devoid of compassion, and hateful. Unquote, David Limbaugh, well said. Oh, and again, by the way, the very violence itself at the Capitol on January the 6th was instigated by the left to make the right look evil. That's the way these things usually happen. This current censorship is based on Capitol riots, and it's being called another Reichstag fire. In February of 1933, the German Capitol building was set on fire by some unknown source, maybe even the Nazis themselves. But Hitler used that event to take away from the people their civil liberties and to arrest his opposition and to create a one-party totalitarian state. Hitler needed a justification, and the justification for totalitarianism is always public safety. democracy always invites more dangers because people are free, and totalitarianism always promises safety. But in the end, totalitarianism is more dangerous compared to the minor problems that arise with democracy. Power consolidated is more dangerous than power distributed. Main example, Tower of Babel. So the point is that evil censorship is always justified on the basis of some pretext. The ungodly want to smooth their conscience and get others on the side with them so they concoct a righteous excuse. You know, as I mentioned earlier, this was the pretext for all of the persecution of the righteous recorded in the Bible and even of Christ. John chapter 11. We can't let Jesus go on like this, otherwise the Romans are going to come and attack us. But there's another reason why the left is now censoring, and that's point number 6. The censorship of truth is a default behavior of evil people once they're empowered. Because even with the January 6th break-ins, the real reason the media companies went into high gear censoring conservatives is that now with the Biden administration, they can get away with it. They've always wanted to censor, but they were afraid of doing it because of legal consequences. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 11. Because the sentence against an evil deed is not executed quickly, therefore the hearts of the sons of men among them are given fully to do evil. When the government no longer protects our First Amendment rights, it will be open season on Christians. Because it's already in the heart of men to persecute Christ and his people. The world does not refrain from persecuting the righteous out of its own goodness, but out of fear of consequence. But once the fear of consequence and the consequences are removed, all hell breaks loose. Such was Kristallnacht, 1938, the night of the broken glass, when the Nazis and the German people attacked the synagogues and the homes of the Jewish people. And the next day, 30,000 Jews were taken to concentration camps. It seemed to happen overnight, instantaneously. But it happened because evil people had the sanction of government to do this. And this was already on their heart. So also with this free speech issue, as soon as the government becomes leftist and doesn't support First Amendment rights, no matter what the Constitution says, free speech is history, and it's open season on Christians. Point number 7, the censors are two-faced, hypocritical liars. I mean, it's so obvious that these leftist censors are not concerned with public safety. They're not concerned with the spread of disinformation. They're only using censorship as an excuse to silence their political opponents. For the last 3 years, the media spread lies about the Russian collusion hoax, which threatened the legitimacy of the presidency. But the social media companies, they didn't censor any of those posting about the Russian collusion hoax. All summer long, Antifa and BLM burned down buildings and broke windows. The Capitol riots were nothing compared to what happened this last summer. And did the media shut down BLM's social media? Absolutely not. They weren't trying to prevent that violence. Rand Paul said on Fox News recently, President Trump can call for a peaceful demonstration at the U.S. Capitol and is faced with impeachment. Meanwhile, Democrat Chuck Schumer can threaten Supreme Court justices with violence and everything's just fine. Think, if we are going to criminalize speech and somehow impeach everyone who says, go fight to have your voices heard, really, we ought to impeach Chuck Schumer. So if people want to hold the president accountable for language, there has to be a consistent standard. And to my mind, what's happening right now is a political farce. Even over this last week, BLM Antifa protesters were marching through Washington, shouting, burn it down. And the social media companies did nothing to stop them. Because this is not about moral censorship. It's about silencing their Republican conservative opponents. these leftists are operating on duplicity. They are hypocrites. And now we know why Jesus excoriated the leadership of Israel in the most stern terms in Matthew chapter 23. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which on the outside appear beautiful, but inside they are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. So you too, outwardly, you appear righteous before men, but inwardly you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. So don't believe the statements and the cries and the virtue signaling of these lawless hypocrites. Point number 8. Censorship starts with political speech, and then it spreads. You know, a response from the Christian community might be, well, you know, this is only censorship of political speech. They're not telling us we can no longer say Jesus is Lord. Sermons about the gospel are not being thrown off of YouTube. And the answer to this is that the social morals of Christ, Christ's moral law, is what bothers the ungodly. Nobody cares if you talk about Jesus as long as you're not against abortion, LGBTQ, communism, and Joe Biden for president. John the Baptist had his head taken off only after he criticized the legitimacy of Herod's marriage. So realize that the world is always going to persecute us for the moral teachings of Christ, the application of God's law. They'll never persecute just for the name of Christ or sermons about self-help. Have you ever considered what is really behind the mark of the beast in Revelation chapter 13 and the persecution that comes when you do not take the mark? All the government is asking you to do is sign up for some sort of digital currency. But then Revelation chapter 14, verse 9, if anyone worships the beast in his image and receives the mark on his forehead or on his hand, he will also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is mixed in full strength in the cup of his anger, and he will be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. All for agreeing to some sort of digital currency? So, what is the objection to taking the mark of the beast? Are we falling on the sword because we object to a one-world government as opposed to nation states? Because we object to digital money? Because we're opposed to big government? No. In that day, allegiance to the kingdom of the Antichrist will be associated with this digital currency, with this mark of allegiance to the empire, which will be the acceptance of certain immoral, idolatrous positions. And the point I want to make here is that we should not think of Christian political speech as separate from Christian theological speech. Because at the end of this age, our stand for Christ will be through the venue of the political and the social. And throughout history, the persecution of Christians has always come about because Christians objected to some form of ungodly state policy and control. Whether that be Jezebel's state sponsorship of Baal worship or Jeremiah's refusal to agree with Israel's foreign policy toward Babylon. And the book of the Revelation tells us that the Antichrist will be all about the censorship of the truth. The economic control is for censoring and punishing Christian opposition to the system of the Antichrist. So for point number 9, the current censorship is a sign of what is to come. And how do you think the people of this world will someday fall into the deception of the leftist globalist, and usher in the Antichrist? Well, they'll do it by suppressing Christian truth concerning the Christian worldview regarding nations and freedom and morality. But I'm going long here. I have to wrap this up, even though I have many more points. So in closing, why the censorship? Like in the novel 1984, The unanswered question that Winston, the main character, wants answered throughout the book is, why does Big Brother do what Big Brother does? Like in this New York Times article, why is big tech censoring speech? And the answer from the New York Times is, big tech is like a bouncer in a bar that wants to remove disruption. And that free speech used to be reasonable, but now it's too extreme and radical. But actually, what's really going on is truth and free speech have not changed, but the ungodly are simply becoming more bothered by the truth, much more than they were a generation ago. The real reason is because they hate the truth and they fear the truth. And it contradicts various aspects of their satanic worldview and their quest for autonomy from God. John chapter 3, verse 19. This is the judgment, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and doesn't come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But he who practices the truth comes to the light, so his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God. And it's as simple as that. Make sure you're among those who come to the light. Thank you for listening today. Don't forget to like, to share, to comment, to subscribe, and may Jesus Christ reign.